back in the studio after a long road trip, a mega road trip from, I don't know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, all the way across the lower half of the eastern United States. So Ohio, Indiana, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know. And then, of course, back in kind of a marathon, 2 days covering six states on back roads only. And I want to just, as I always do when I get back in the studio and get resituated with the equipment and everything else. And it's an opportunity to kind of have some thoughts about the trip. We're going to do that in podcast 882, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, this is the season to say thanks. So I want to thank ReliaFund for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast for quite some time now. ReliaFund is my payment processor. I have a little button on my website at thebobdavispodcast.com where clients can pay with an electronic check if they want, because people had asked me for that. So it was custom built for thebobdavispodcast.com. This is what ReliaFund does. They are a payment processor that was part of the payment processing revolution in this country going back 20 years, and they've been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. So what does that mean? It means they work with your systems to make sure that everything works properly and integrate their system with your system. So if you're running a business and you are updating your back office stuff, you're updating, e-commerce websites and so forth, ReliaFund is a great group to talk to. And of course, when you call them, you'll be talking to human beings, which is a great thing these days with email and messaging, that it's great to talk to a human being. Here's the number, 866-243-5040, 866-243-5040, or you can click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com for their banner, ReliaFund.com. That takes you to a contact page, and they can you can write there what your company is and what you need, and they can get back to you, and they will. That is how I found ReliaFund, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D, ReliaFund at ReliaFund.com. And thanks, you guys. Well, believe it or not, that boat anchor that I call my printer went with me on this trip, and I actually used it a couple of times. This is what's amazing about it. So I use Cartridge World for all of my printing needs because they can save me up to 30% on printing cartridges compared to the big box stores. I have a cartridge which Jason gave me a while back for my printer, which is an old HP laser printer, and guess what? I still haven't put the new cartridge in. That old cartridge worked great, and their cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. Free delivery on qualifying orders. Also, you can qualify to get a free printer from Cartridge World. Call them at 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632, or visit them in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. They also serve the Roseville area, but I'll tell you a secret. They will send you cartridges regardless of where you live. Just call them, 763-420-6632, Cartridge World. My friend asked me last night, what was the most significant thing, or what was the biggest takeaway from the trip? And I really struggled to answer that question, because for me, after coming back from a long road trip, it's just all kind of a fluid mix. One place is another place, and another place is yet another place. And I've been thinking, you know, as I kind of get situated, you come home, you turn the heat on, turn the heat up, put all your stuff away, you try to figure out what's still in the truck, what you forgot to bring in, all that stuff. And then you kind of, maybe you make something to eat, you watch. The first thing I did, because I don't have television, on the road, and I don't watch stuff on the computer on the road, just because you're in various states of reception, hotspots don't work, people's Wi-Fis don't work very well, or they work, you know, whatever. And you don't have that option. So I came home and I started watching my favorite TV shows, Ray Donovan and others. And I think I watched Silicon Valley and Ray Donovan, exhausted, went out, came back, went to sleep, and slept in my own bed. And that was great. I've been sleeping in hammocks and on the floor and in sleeping bags. And I guess the first thing that I want to remind everyone, and I don't seem to mind this, is Mobile Podcast Command is not an RV, so it's really not comfortable in the sense that you would associate with people who go out and travel in RVs. They've got a portable house. And I love my little house. Somebody said, that's your fort. It's not an RV. No, it's my fort. It is functional for traveling and functional for doing podcasting. And then at night, I have to re-rig the thing. So I either have to put the hammock up or if you've been listening to the podcast, and I don't want to do a complete review. I don't want this podcast to be a complete review of everything I said while I was traveling. But either that or I'm on the floor in a sleeping bag, in one of those army mummy sleeping bags, because that's how I figured out how to stay warm and not run the truck. Long story. But it's very interesting because all of it kind of just mixes together, but it is not a comfortable environment. So getting home and sleeping in my own bed is great. Now, I've had a lot of conversations on this trip with friends who are in the know, whether they're in the auto industry or they've done it before, about what kind of RV is great, why, what works and what doesn't work, as well as coming to some conclusions about this this Ford F-450 7.3-liter Ford diesel back in the day, and it's a 2000. It's so great. It just – that vehicle, that platform is so phenomenal. It climbs up hills like a crab. It goes on mountain roads. I ended up on logging roads. It didn't matter where I was or what I was doing, as long as I didn't puncture the tires or put a hole in the crankcase, you know. That truck just is amazing, and I love it. So what I would look for in an RV would be something that was just as robust in terms of being able to do the things that I do. I don't do what most people do. Now, this is not a value judgment to the van life people or to the people that are doing RV lifestyle stuff online, whether it's YouTube or Instagram or Facebook, because everybody has their approach. But one of the things I've noticed is people who are out doing this. Now, this is definitely, if you don't pay attention to this stuff, and I tag all the social media marketing for this podcast so people will hear these podcasts or at least know that they exist if they're interested in that sort of thing. But there's a lot of people that listen to me that don't necessarily know that these other segments in terms of digital media exist. There's people that do van life podcasts and YouTube videos and so forth. And they don't do what I do. I have this weird thing where I have an objective and I've got to get to the objective and I roll. I'm all over the place. So like I said, I was out for 7 days, 10 days, something like that, and covered I don't know how many states. Let me just see if I can figure it out. So I was in, obviously, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Kentucky, Virginia, Tennessee, and then came back. So that's 9 states, and then came back in a very, very fast manner, coming from Tennessee, where I went to that Top 40 Museum with my friend John Holland in Chattanooga, and then rolled north in one day I went. So the first day was Tennessee, because I left pretty late. Tennessee, Kentucky ended in the evening, and then the next day it was Kentucky, Indiana, all the way to the south side of Chicago, and then yesterday I took a break in Chicago, and then yesterday it was all the way north in Illinois till you got to Wisconsin, and then all the way up through Wisconsin to Highway 61, and then switching over into Minnesota and all the way home last night. So I'm exhausted, and I feel great. It was a great trip. Almost everything that needed to happen happened perfectly. It was amazing. Certainly, there were some weird turnarounds. So yesterday, while I was driving, I'm already very tired. So this is the thing I wanted to say. One of the things that's a takeaway is when you're out and you are moving, so you're going somewhere every day, you might see friends and stay on their farm or plug in at their apartment building like I did with John, because as he said, it upsets the neighbors. When you're moving every day, you get really tired. And my friend Steve, who toured with Metallica for years, you know, used to talk about how tired you would get. And if you didn't rest, you got into trouble. And of course, in those days, there was a lot of other things going on. And so people got sick, they got tired, you had to really watch what you're doing. He did audio in addition to the fact that you had this very loud music every night and you had the show to do, you were in the truck after the show and on your way in the bus, on your way to the next event. So the whole road warrior thing definitely resonates with me because that's what I'm doing. I'm literally touring these states. And I want to talk in the second half of this podcast. I don't want to go on and on too much about this, but I guess I was going to say that, and this is an easy talker. I don't have a prepared script or anything. I was going to say that yesterday I was recording, and so I'm driving along and I've got my digital recorder and I'll pull it up and record it. And, you know, I was so exhausted, I finally just, without even reviewing that material, I'm just not going to use it. So let me just say very quickly before I, you know, get into the second half of this podcast that I made a lot of comments about how beautiful Indiana was that morning that I came across the first couple of days of the trip, and the splendor and beauty, geographically speaking, of the United States and all these different places and how big the states are and how unique each state is in terms of the formation, you would think, oh, they're all the same, but they're not. Each state has a different look, a different feel. It's amazing to me that even today, with all of this emphasis on national, 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 and international, 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 each state of the United States has a little bit different, unique look. Even out west, you get this. But on my trip, I really noticed it. Indiana looks different from Illinois. Illinois looks different from Ohio, and so on. And of course, geographically, when you get into the borders, if you just cross the border, you're not going to notice much of a difference. But almost immediately, you begin to notice differences in each individual state. And it's amazing, these different states. But as I said, I was talking about how great Indiana was, and it is, on that first day with the frost and the sunrise, just as I crossed over into Indiana, and then that quick trip all the way across Indiana. But I noted yesterday, coming back, so I angled up through Illinois, and I took 52 west, angles around the south side of Chicago, up through Joliet, and it's slow, but you do save fuel because you're not, as I've often said, you're angling up instead of cutting straight across. And staying on state roads really takes an effort. You've really got to pay attention, and you got to have, quote-unquote, the right equipment. As my friend Steve pointed out, gave me an old GPS unit from Garmin, which is great. I got two compasses. Those, believe it or not, an analog compass, that the kind that old men used to have on their Buicks, with the floating whatever, I've got kind of a little one of those. Those make a huge difference because at least you know you're going in the right direction, right? You almost need that to really navigate these back roads. And of course, if you're going to take a county road, if you're going to cut over because you saw it on the map, you got to make sure that you're going in the right direction. Long and involved explanation. But I'm driving up through Illinois. I get into Wisconsin, and I've forgotten how great it is to be back in these northwestern, midwestern states. Wisconsin, and then I have to say that Highway 61 coming up through southern Minnesota, so you come across at Dubuque, you go back across to get back into Wisconsin. So if you're on 61, I think it's 1561, and it carries you across the bridge into Dubuque. I freaked out because I thought I was going in the wrong direction. So you can take 20 one way, and then you can take 61 another way. But what happens is brings you across the very high bridge in Dubuque, Iowa, and then swings around and brings you back into Wisconsin. And then there's the big welcome to Wisconsin sign. Almost immediately, you notice the difference, and you notice this unique Wisconsin thing. It's the only way I can explain it. But getting on 61, a little bit further north of there, I think in not Winona, but I forgot. It might have been Winona. You come across onto 61. And that is a beautiful drive on the bluffs there on 61. And I'd forgotten how beautiful Minnesota is, how unique it is, how different it is, how when you drive on the farmlands and you're heading south on 169 on the way out, you you know, it's unique and everything. But when you come across and you come up that east side of the state along the river, that is breathtaking, passing Lake Pepin and all through there. And you realize, again, this varied geographic architecture of the state of Minnesota, how different it is whether you're going up into the northern part of the state or the far western part of the state that feels more like North Dakota or the southern parts of the state. There were few things that I saw, even in West Virginia, that surpassed the beauty of that drive on 61 at sunset. So I just wanted to say that. So in the second half of this podcast, I want to talk about why I did it. We'll get a little political, not too much, but I want to talk about why I did this trip and what perhaps the takeaway might be. Well, you've heard me talk about whitetail builders, and if you have had people in the house this Thanksgiving season, or you will have people in your house at Christmas, you may be thinking about doing things like improving the kitchen, new kitchen, finally finishing off the garage, doing an addition, fixing up the basement for your teenagers to get them out of the main part of the house. It all depends on what your needs are and what your dreams are, and Whitetail Builders of Andover, Minnesota can help you there. Randy Graybaugh is great. He is very detailed. He is with people every step of the way. 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801. Whitetail Builders, helping you construct your dreams, and you're going to love the results. Click on the banner at the top of the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. Shows you some things that they've done and takes you to their website. Or you can call them again at 612-282-8801. That's 612-282-8801, Whitetail Builders, at WhitetailBuildersInc.com. A lot of this trip was going through towns that have manufacturing. And a lot of these smaller towns I mentioned, Lafayette, Evansville, all are manufacturing towns. And that makes me think of my friends at Depot Star. With all the talk about foreign manufacturing, I've mentioned any number of times, people are looking at different manufacturing solutions. If you need American manufacturing, if you need a great manufacturer, Depot Star is the choice. American design, engineering, and manufacturing. Visit Depot Star at DepotStar.com. In the national media these days, what we see are endless recitations of statistics. This many people this, that many people that. Even when you do research on a story, you are confronted with these statistical quote-unquote facts. And I generally, if you're dealing with census data, if you're dealing with polls, if you're dealing with, and I don't want to get into the poll thing. I'm just saying if you deal with facts about what people say is going on, let's just say methamphetamine addiction or economic performance of one state versus another, or whether or not some tax incentive is working for a particular state, there's always statistics available. And you have to do some searching and you have to spend some time to try to evaluate those statistics. But in general, when it comes to media, and I'm not, again, these are the kinds of words now that are loaded words. I'm not criticizing the media. I'm just saying, where else does a journalist go if they want to write an informed story about this or that? Well, they go to the internet and they look up information. And most of us are relatively good at parsing information from the internet and looking at what it says and making some conclusions. Then you can ask sources, what about this? What about that? And almost all politicians and journalists and people who are commentators will use statistics to describe a particular problem. So the reason that I travel, it started with, I'm going to go to events and I'm going to do podcasts from events because that's really fun. So I would go to Sturgis, or I would go to the air show at Oshkosh, or I would go to, then I said, okay, I'm going to, since I've got this capability, I'm going to go to stories and I'm going to cover stories and interview people, and they're going to be great podcasts. And there were, and I went to the Pipeline podcast. I mean, I went to the Pipeline protest, and I go occasionally to gatherings of little groups of people that I know, my anarchist friends or whatever. And I went to the political conventions for the Republicans. By the way, I'm going to go back down to Iowa in probably late January to cover the Democrats, which I have never done before. And I'm kind of excited about it because, of course, the reason is in Iowa this year, that's where all the attention is. But anyway, that was the plan. And I discovered while going to and from those things that just traveling through parts of the United States, you get to see these places that people talk about. You get to see Portland, Oregon. You get to see Los Angeles, California. You get to see Muncie, Indiana, whatever. And I have come to believe from experience that driving through those places, even if it's driving through Joliet on a Friday morning at 6:30, 7 o'clock, you get a sense of those communities. And people say to me, oh, do you stop and talk to people? Very seldom, because I don't really want to. Number one, I don't want to stop because I'm on my way to some other place. Number two, I came to the conclusion this morning, if you are talking about talking to people about issues, if you're talking to people about problems, then what you're going to get is people reciting statistics because they get all of their information from the media, even if they are in a local area with a local problem. You're going to get anecdotal data, which is, well, this my business is doing great, therefore the whole world is doing great, or I'm in a hole and everyone else must be in a hole, or whatever. Or you're going to get, I heard dot, 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 fill in the blank. This is going on. That's going on. And you, the way it is today, you have to be in those layers of these different things in order to fully understand what's going on. So if you want to talk about drug addiction, then you have to be in the layers of the community. And the treatment facilities have a different view from the law enforcement agencies, and those guys have a different view from the politicians, and those guys have a different view from the Justice Department, and on and on and on. There are so many layers, and it really is complex, that for me, in preparation for the political firestorm that we are about to experience in this country, which we're already experiencing to a huge degree. And I will tell you that from the people I did talk to, whether they were attendants at the 7-Eleven or whether they were working at the Supermerica or the Speedway or friends, to a man, even some of the people that were the most interested and involved in politics have said, I'm done with it. I can't take this anymore. And they were of varying ages. This wasn't something where I was talking to old people exclusively. I talked to all kinds of people, and almost all of them were just like, I don't have time for this anymore. I can't keep track of what's going on. I don't want to know what's going on. I'm sick and tired of the whole thing. I'm sick and tired of this constant barrage of politics. This is what NBC, was it NBC or is it CBS? I think it's CBS, is moving their entire news operation to Washington, D.C., as though nothing else in the world matters. And I drive through these places like Evansville, Indiana, or on the way back, or Joliet, Illinois, or Winona, and I don't see this, I don't feel this sense that people are just hanging on every word. Yeah, I went into a gas station convenience store. I don't even know where I was yesterday. It was probably in northern Illinois. And they had CNN on while the hearings were going on in Washington. And that kind of was providing the backdrop at that particular store. I will tell you that most of these places, I did not hear talk radio. I heard sports. I heard music of some kind, either a service or they had the radio on, or it was some TV show. I did not notice this incredible connection with politics. And I will tell you, I've done this several times. So I've been back and forth across the country, and particularly back and forth across various parts of the Midwest, each time taking a different route. And I will say that my sense is that in the past, there seemed to be more of an electric atmosphere surrounding the political situation in the country than there is today. There seems to be a weariness, almost as though, and I hate to use this phrase, but because it was overused, and war weary. We are politically weary in this country, and I think almost everyone has that feeling. So I don't know what that means, but I do think that's one of the takeaways. But I travel through these areas because I don't really want to talk to anyone. I just want to look at it. I want to observe. I want to see what's going on. And I will, I'll do another podcast here at some point very quickly. And I'll actually sit down and do an essay on the economic situation in the North Central United States, the Mid Central United States, so Tennessee and so forth. But I will tell you that my takeaway that I was a little surprised about is these places: Evansville, Lafayette, you know, Johnson City, Tennessee, Nashville, Knoxville. These different places around Tennessee and Kentucky are burgeoning manufacturing centers. And it isn't just American companies. It's also a lot of agricultural companies. And then the other thing I saw was a lot of local public-private partnership activity, which I talked about a little bit in some of those podcasts. I didn't want to get too political in the travel podcasts. But I see continuing to see a prosperous nation relatively. Yes, there are places where you look and you go, ooh, I don't know if I'd want to live there. But there's been places like that since I've been traveling when I was a kid. You know, we went through places in Georgia you would not believe when we were kids, as an example, or in the Deep South. Now, the Deep South isn't like that anymore because the Deep South, a lot of manufacturing and a lot of production in the United States has moved into those places. And where I was not the tech centers of the world today. That's all out west, and it's all in different places. You know, western states, lower, but this lower tax industrial option and the incentives offered by states like Tennessee and Indiana and so forth are really working, as far as I could see. I was shocked at the amount of traffic in Evansville, Indiana. Now, you would never think of Evansville, Indiana, but I went through Evansville, Indiana, and again, I have to sit down and actually look at the map and draw some conclusions from the different places I was. But Kentucky, same thing. Just tons of people going to and fro, and not necessarily early in the evening or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night. Very, very, congested drive times. And clearly the need for more infrastructure, and I'm not talking about trains, but clearly the need for highway development and things of that nature in these local communities. The takeaway, a very prosperous nation. And I think we, depending on what side of the fence you're on, you have a tendency to think things are worse than they are or better than they are. That was I was a little surprised. And again, I'm not driving through city centers like Indianapolis. I'm driving through communities, either farm communities, small cities, medium-sized cities. I stayed away from the big cities, and I stayed away from the cities as much as I possibly could. So I didn't drive through the west side of Chicago. I drove all the way around and went around Joliet and straight up. So I went through, you know, Galena, Illinois, and I went through Dubuque, Iowa, and East Dubuque, Illinois, and places like that. And I continue to see a very prosperous country with people who are about something. They seem to be on the road or on, you know, in their communities, on their way to do this or that, and they're in a big hurry, aside from the cruise control driving. So I do it so I can observe, and then later I'll layer in specifics if I want to do an interview, or if I want, I'll remember that place, or I'll remember an issue that I had about that place. But I think seeing it all, as much as you can see, that makes a huge difference. Oh yeah, I've been to Dubuque and recently, and oh yeah, I've been to Evansville, Indiana, and recently. Oh, and I've been to, you know, Henderson, Kentucky, recently. You know, I've seen what's going on with that highway interchange in Peoria or what they're doing in downtown Nashville. I don't need to talk to anyone specifically. It's just catching the feel. And that's where I start, is trying to figure out what the feel is. And it's really fun. It's real. It is a huge pleasure. And there's so much to talk about it, but I don't want to go on too long in this particular podcast because I'll just do another one and try to come to some real conclusions and actually have a plan in the podcast. But I am back sitting here by the fire and glad to be here in podcast 882, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Okay, thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcasts at thebobdavispodcast.com, where you can subscribe to the RSS feed. I appreciate subscriptions these days off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com or at iTunes. Also, Spotify for Android devices, Stitcher.com, TuneIn, and lots of other places, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and so forth. Appreciate the likes, of course, but really the shares in social media and RTs on Twitter. When you find a podcast that you like, it really helps me if people share those out. All right. Thanks for listening to podcast 882, the Bob Davis Podcast. Back in the studio with a little fire. It is great to be home.
Instead of having sweet dreams about you.